All right, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. We're just going to read one verse, verse 1. Genesis 4:1. My title today of the message is called Our Vision. And so this is our vision. Genesis 4:1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Let me read again. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for continuing to watch over us. We just pray, God, that your presence would come and meet with us in a very powerful way, God, here in the sanctuary with our small team in every home, God, that where this service is being watched. We pray for your presence to come down, Lord. Lord, manifest yourself in the midst of us, God. And Lord, we do ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, release right now the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room and in those rooms, God. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in our house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're starting a new series. This is probably going to take us for a bit of time. We're actually formulating a membership process here at SP, finally, after 17 years. And it's come down. We feel like the Lord giving a green light to do this. And so and when we think about order, remember our theme, God is a God of order. And immediately last year when I was praying through this, I really felt the Lord lead and say, okay, now start the membership process again and formalize it. And so when we were thinking about this, it was really about going back to our vision, going back to our values. During this membership process, these messages that we're going to preach, you know, for the next 10 weeks or so are really going to be a part of a new membership class that'll be rolled out for the next group. Everyone that's watching right now, you're part of SP, you're going to kind of be grandfathered in, and then the next batch of membership will actually happen through a class, not necessarily through a Sunday, but we're going to use all these messages to help us to evaluate and to make sure that we're on the same track. Many years ago, when we started our Vision Fund, if you remember, we're meeting in Shengwan, And so we started basically trying to raise money. We're totally outgrowing our space. And so, obviously this is before we moved here to China Camp. And so a bunch of leaders, we got together because we started the Vision Fund, a building fund. But we specifically wanted to make sure we're calling it a Vision Fund because we're not giving to a building, we're giving to a vision. And so then we basically got together and started asking ourselves question, well, then what is our vision? I mean, we have been a church for many years already, but I mean, what is God really calling us specifically to? And so we begin to articulate what we believe God has been doing within SP, within our congregation. And so we came up with, some of you guys in the corporate world will be very familiar with this, we came up with our vision, mission, and values. And we had a young woman that was very skilled in this type of procedure, and so she led us through this. And so we came up with this vision statement. Now, I want to just lay this out as a challenge for you guys. I'll give you guys a couple minutes to be able to do this. But if you're online and if you can write down in the comment section, I know there's one, if you can write down our old, not our current, our old vision statement, there is a prize that is for you. Okay, so a couple minutes, don't look on the computer. Actually, you can't even find it anymore anyway. But if you remember our old mission or vision statement that we used to have, there's a really nice prize if you can do this. I'll just give you a few minutes because I got to continue on in my message. And so I'll just wait right now. Our old vision statement. If you know it, write it in the comments box. In the comment section, and there is a really great, great, great prize. Trust me, you're going to love it. But I doubt any of you guys will have it. Someone did it? Oh. Sorry, Ching Ching. True, it is to love Jesus, but we had a very specific statement. Okay, no one's got it, right? I have my crack staff here. No one's got it. All right, this is what our old vision statement used to be. It used to be a Christ-like family that seeks after God's heart and transforms lives, communities, and nations through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A Christ-like family that seeks after God's heart and transforms lives, communities, and nations through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We wanted to really relay all these different things we felt like God was doing with us. And we had this for years, actually. It was on our website. But I recall one Sunday I was preaching, and I asked the congregation, anyone know our vision statement? And no one knew what it was. And so we knew that we had to change something. And so no one remembered it. So I remember one afternoon I was sitting in my office and I was just praying. And I was saying, God, you know, our vision statement's not very good. It's too wordy. We're kind of all over the place. And so can you give us a new one, basically? And then I had this light bulb moment and a moment of inspiration, and our new vision statement was born. And some of you guys may know it now. If you ever walk from across the street on DeVoe Road, you can see the big sign up on the second floor, and it's simply this: a place where people can encounter God. Isn't that great? So much better than a Christ-like family that seeks after God's heart, transforms lives, communities, and nations through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So simple. What do we want to do? A place where people can encounter God. We want people to experience God. We want people to experience the fire of God's love. We want people to experience the truth of God's word and to experience community and life. And I borrow from my seminary professor. This is Dr. Charles Kraft. And he talked about encountering God. And he says there's three different ways we encounter him. So I'm going to talk about this. He says we encounter him with what we call a truth encounter. We encounter him. He actually calls it a power encounter, but I change it to a love encounter. And then he says there's an allegiance encounter. So I'll go to that in a moment. But as we talk about this, a place where people can encounter God, as we continue to bring God's order to what we're doing here, is this really a place where people can encounter God? And I want to say enthusiastically, yes. You know, we have so many incredible testimonies of people walking in during service. And you know, some of them never been to church before, and they walk in, and they just the presence of God is here. And during worship, and they just start crying and crying and crying, and they don't know what's going on, and it's so easy, and we lead them to Christ. You know, we have testimonies of young couples, particularly one where the guy just happened to come to church for whatever reason, and they're on the verge of getting a divorce. And when he came, and I think P-Nate was leading us in worship, and he just felt the presence of God, so much so that he repented, you know, basically got his life back together, went back to his wife, and you know, now they've had another kid since then. And I mean, total marriage, family restored because he encountered God. There's people that during prayer times and during ministry times and during the times of the Word and during house church, where people just encounter the power of God, and it changes their life. That's what we want. We want a place where people can encounter God, have a truth encounter, a love encounter, and an allegiance encounter. So let's take a step back here and say, well, how important is it that we experience God, that we encounter God? Well, we know, according to the scriptures, particularly in Paul's writings, that it's important for us to know God. Let me read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. Paul is basically giving his CV, his resume. And after all that, he says this. He says all that stuff, and he says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, through whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul is talking about, man, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisee. I'm a Hebrew, trained in the best institutions. I got all of these things. I'm righteous, blameless. And he says, all that I count as rubbish. I mean, it's just loss compared to just knowing God. having this experience of Him. You know, having a proper knowledge of God and knowing Him was the goal of Paul's life, and it should also be the goal of our lives as well. But then, we think about this, what does it really mean, exactly mean, to know God? Is it a cognitive exercise, you know, or is there more to it than that? What does it really mean to know God? There's two words, a Hebrew and the Greek, and the word yada is the Hebrew word, which means to know, occurs 1,008 times in 872 verses in the New American Standard Bible. The Greek word genosko, the same idea of to know, occurs 227 times in 205 verses in the New American Standard. And so we see that, I mean, to know God, this idea of knowing is pretty widespread throughout the Bible. But the biblical concept of knowing God was always rooted in experience. It did include the mind, but it included more than that. It meant not just an intellectual engagement or intellectual commitment, a conviction. It also meant an experience, something that happened with us and with this truth that really came together. I'm going to give you an example. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, now this is when Abram was 99 years old. So imagine, 99-year-old guy. And the Lord appears to him. So let me just read this. Genesis 17, 1 and 2. And it says, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. The Hebrew, El Shaddai. And it says, and walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. So this happens. Remember, this happened way before when Abram was much younger man, and that God promised him a son, promised him something that would happen. And now Abram's 99 years old, and God comes and reminds me and says, Abram, don't forget, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. And the Septuagint, actually, of the translation, of the Hebrew translation into Greek, actually translated, He is the Lord of heaven. And this is the idea, the Lord Almighty. But I want to ask you a question here. When did the true knowledge, the true idea of God's name and nature, El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, come to Abram and Sarai? Was it at the hearing of the words here in Genesis 17? Or did it happen somewhere else? When did they really experience El Shaddai and experience the power of God? Now, you got to continue to read a little bit more, because if you get into chapter 18, the Lord, Jehovah, comes and meets with Abram, and Sarai happens to be listening, eavesdropping on the conversation. And interesting enough, in Genesis 18, three men come. So it's the Lord. I mean, could it be could be Christ, God, a theophany, a Christophany, in other words, appearance of Christ and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the ophany is for that, but something in that way, maybe a new pneumaophany or something like that's a totally made up word. It probably doesn't exist, but something like that. So we see three men come to visit, and the Bible very clearly says it's the Lord. So it's Jehovah, and so there's a particular, it's probably Christ and probably the Holy Spirit. It's just a guess. Or it could have been Gabriel and Michael. Who knows? But in any case, they come, and when these men come, and they ask Abram to do something, Abram does it for them, and they prophesy. He says, next year, you will have a child. You will have a baby. Sarai is listening to this, and she doesn't believe a word they say. In fact, the reaction that she has, she says she starts laughing. She starts laughing to herself and says, I'm an old woman. You know, at that time, 89 years old. There's no way that I could have a baby. So let me ask you this question. Did they believe that he was El Shaddai when the word was given? In other words, when they received, then when they heard the word, did they believe he was El Shaddai? I would suggest no, they didn't believe. That's why they laughed. That's why they were incredulous when this thing whole thing happened. But when did they realize? When did they realize that he was El Shaddai? When did they realize that he was God Almighty? Is when Isaac was born to them, when Abram was 100 years old and then Sarai was 90 years old. That's when they know that they know that they know he is God Almighty. And I think there's really something to that in our lives as well. There's a lot of truth in the scriptures, And if we just simply process it as a cognitive thing, which is a huge part of it, but really the truth really comes when we really experience it in our lives. You know, I use the illustration all the time. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Adam knew Eve, and they conceived the son, had relations. And that's the Hebrew idiom for having sexual intercourse. But the idea is knowing. It's this knowledge that comes, but it's knowledge that's birth, using the same illustration in Genesis 4, that is birth out of experience. We experience God. We experience His love, His might, His power. And out of that experience, we truly, truly get to know God. And it becomes a deep conviction in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know God wants us to experience Him. He wants us to be in relationship with us. He wants us to be in relationship with us, and He wants us to show His love, His truth, and His power to us. This is His heart in our lives. And what we want to do as a church, when we talk about our vision, we want to build an atmosphere where people can encounter God. This is why prayer is important. This is why worship is important. This is why it's important the way that we live our lives, because all these things, what it does, it creates an atmosphere of the Lord to move, and so we can really, really encounter Him. You know, the first time I ever really learned this was back in 1995. In 1995, I was a youth pastor, and I brought my youth group to Hong Kong and China on a basketball tour. And so I remember going in, and we were in China, and we're in this city, and we're playing an exhibition basketball game. And so, you know, fanfare, we go in, and you know, we meet with the mayor, and have dinner together and all these things. And then we have a game. It's in an outdoor stadium. You know, there's probably 1,000 people there. And it's crazy. It seems like everyone is smoking in the stadium. And so you could just feel the air. And while we're playing in the first half, you could tell that people really didn't like us. You know, this was this American team with a bunch of Asians. I mean, not all the kids in the youth group played on the team. There's another team that joined us. And so, you know, we're playing in this thing together. And you could tell that there was a lot of anger towards us. And we're playing one of their provincial teams. It was a really tense situation. It was just, you could feel the hostility in the stadium, and then all the smoke as well, so it's hard to breathe. And then I remember the organizers of this game had asked if we can do something American. So we don't know what it was, and so, you know, maybe can you sing some American songs or something? And so we said sure. And so we went out during halftime. And they went out, and we sang some, obviously, Christian songs because we're a missions team. And so I remember we started singing Lord, I Lift Your Name on High and some other songs. And it was crazy. Now, obviously, I was not part of the singing group. I left it up to the other guys. I was a player. But I was sitting on the side, and obviously I was praying during this time, and we're singing the song. And by the way, it was caught on the news cameras. It played on the news in that town. It was pretty cool. I'm still trying to find the videotape of that because it's still around somewhere. And they're playing this song, and all of a sudden, all these people in the stadium who were really angry, who were like really had, you know, just like mean looks on their faces, and they just start brightening up. And they start smiling, and people start, it was just the whole atmosphere totally changed, and it was the worship. And that's when, I mean, I was already convicted that worship is important, but I mean, that just took it to another level. I experienced how important worship was. You know, not just singing about God, but singing to God and really worshiping Him with all of our heart. And in the second half, it was crazy. In the second half, this crowd that in the first had been very antagonistic towards us, in the second half, oh my goodness, they were cheering for us. I mean, they were clapping, all kinds of things, and we lost the game. It's actually probably the only basketball game I was happy that we lost, because it was perfect. You know, we made it close. I think I shot the last shot and I missed it, and so we lost the game. But you know, the crowd was happy that we lost, but we made it close, and so it was good. It was a good competition in that way, and it was amazing to see the change in atmosphere, and it does make a difference. And afterwards, I mean, I signed probably about like a couple hundred autographs from people. I didn't sign my name. I just signed everyone. I said Jesus loves you on everyone during that time, and it was such an amazing experience. And I realized, wow, You know, we are here on earth to change the atmosphere. I mean, couldn't you imagine? Think about right now, COVID-19. People are so afraid. People are so scared. And it takes the man and woman of God to really express our faith and our deep trust in God and to tell people, look, you don't need to be afraid. God's in control of all these things. You know, COVID-19 did not sneak upon God. And God is in control. He knows what he's doing, and he's got a way for us if we follow this path. But instead, we're so freaking out in this place. And where is our peace in the midst of it? And you, man and woman of God, you can change the atmosphere in your home. You know, maybe your in-laws are driving you crazy with fear. And you can speak truth, and you can worship, and you can pray. You can change the atmosphere in your home. You can change the atmosphere in your workplace. And people are going crazy about losing their jobs and all these things. And God sent you, the atmosphere changer, to step into your workplaces and bring the calm and bring the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, would come down in a powerful way. God's called us to do that. And so that's what God's called SP to do. What we want to do as a church is we want to build an atmosphere where people can really, really encounter God. Right? We need to build an atmosphere where God is worshiped, where Jesus is exalted, and when the Holy Spirit is welcome. Right? Where God is worshiped, where Jesus Christ is exalted, and the Spirit is welcome into this place. I remember really early on when we talk about mission as a church, really early on and thinking about planting churches. And sometimes when people plant churches, they do all kinds of studies about the city and about the place where they're at and the economics and the spirituality and all these different things. And those things are great, do all kinds of studies. And then they try to find a target audience, you know, a group of people that they want to reach and that feel like there's some skill or some anointing to reach these kind of people. And so some people go out to the suburbs and they reach young people and some go to college campuses and reach college students and some go to international. You know, I mean, there's all different ways of going about it. But I knew that when we were starting Solomon's Porch that we only had one audience. And we figured there was just one target audience and one target group of people. And if we just figured if these guys show up to church, man, we would really have church. And so we try to design church and design a service that we just welcome, you know, not the young banker or the young finance person, even though, I mean, those are great. But if we can attract the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and if we could really attract these three, and if they come, we just figured other people would show up as well. And they would come, and we would have church. That was the original idea. And when we think about going back to God's order, I'm calling our church back into this focus because I think maybe we lost focus a little bit. There's a lot of different things, so many different ministries and things going on that we lose sight that what we want to do is we want to create an atmosphere in Solomon's Porch that welcomes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's really the heart, that's really the desire of all of these things. And to build an atmosphere, because those guys show up and other people show up, especially people that are hurting and that are longing and looking for God and looking for hope and meaning in their lives. And we have the truth of the gospel that we can give to them. They could really, really encounter God. Now, like I said, we need to build an atmosphere where God is worshiped, where the Son is exalted, and where the Spirit is welcomed. And we believe there are three distinct ways that we can do that. So let's go through these real quick. Three distinct ways. Number one, a truth encounter, an encounter with truth. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know, you shall genosko the truth, and the truth will make you free. Again, it's the truth that you know. It's the truth that you experience that sets you free. How many of us know a lot of facts and know a lot of things, you know, scripturally, biblically, and all these things, but we're not free. We're not free because you have not experienced this truth. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. That's what this Bible is talking about. And we learn if you've been involved in experiencing God, you know that truth is a person. Jesus is truth. And so we're not talking about just having a cognitive mindset. Truth is a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a revelation of Jesus. We need a revelation of truth. It's powerful. And you know, honestly, I can't wait to get to heaven because I'm going to see what's been happening. Some of you guys know that earlier this year during Ramadan, kind of God led me to fast as well. And so I was doing a Ramadan fast. I wasn't eating. I wasn't drinking the whole day until the sun went down. And I have a little something to eat, a little something to drink. And I did this for a period of Ramadan. And all I was praying for Muslims around the world. And I was just saying, as they're also fasting, they're going through the Ramadan fast, and they're asking for revelation of God. And so all I was praying as I would fast, and I'd feel hungry, and I feel thirsty, especially during this time. And I'd pray, Lord, reveal yourself to these people. Jesus, come and reveal yourself to them. I was just basically asking God to answer their prayer during this time. And I know that it had an effect. I can't wait to get to heaven. And I find out that this person, you know, came to Jesus, and God revealed Jesus to this person in a dream and all these things because we had just dedicated this season to prayer and fasting in that way. It's going to be amazing, but this is what we all need. We need a revelation of Jesus, a revelation of truth. It's important that we dig in because truth is a person, but Jesus is in this truth, is in this Bible right here. And it's important we dig into God's Word. It's important that we pay attention during sermons. Put that phone down, okay? Come on now. It's important we pay attention during sermons and get off Facebook or Instagram or whatever you're on. And it's important that we take notes and we learn and we allow the Word of God to continue to ruminate in our spirit because it leads us to Jesus. Ask the Lord. And anytime you come in to read the Scriptures or come to listen to a message or something to that effect, ask the Lord to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 1:17. Ask the Lord for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is an intellectual commitment that we make before the Lord. It's a truth encounter. And then the second part, we go into what we call the love encounter. Like I said, Dr. Kraft calls it a power encounter. I kind of changed it. I like this better. It's really a love encounter. 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. I love that verse. It brings me home to the reality that, Lord, the only reason, like everything I have is just a response to the overtures of love that You've given to me. We love because You first loved us. You first loved me. Brothers and sisters, God is love. God cannot do anything but love. Everything God does in our life will be an expression of His perfect love. Think about that for a minute. Everything that God does in your life, in my life, is an expression of His perfect love. God is love. First time I really recognized God's love for me was when I received the revelation of the cross. I was a very, very young Christian. And I forget where I was. I was at church. I was at chapel. And I was just fixated on the cross. And I just thought about all that Jesus Christ had done for me on the cross. And it had an incredible impact. And I remember I was there in the sanctuary, and I just started weeping and weeping. It was like I felt so unworthy, and then I felt so loved that He would die on the cross for me. And I guess the only way I can explain it now, it felt like liquid love just coming over me. And I'm just in the seat of my emotions, which is my heart, just overflowing with this knowledge of the love of God. The love encounter is not just being loved by God, but it's also experience the love of the gathered community. It's something about us being loved by one another in this way. And it brings out so much of this truth so much of what's deep inside of us. You know, every one of us. I mean, if you think about it, what's the biggest theme in every movie and in almost all the songs? It's love. The world is dying for love, to be loved, to be able to give love. And this is God's heart as well. God wants to express his love to his people. He wants us to have a love encounter. And the last one, number three, is the allegiance encounter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. This is what it says, 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Peter is saying, look, make certain about his calling and choosing you. God's on your life. And he says, as long as you, what, think about these things? No. Meditate on these? No. As long as you practice these things, he says, you will never stumble. How many of us never want to stumble? Amen. You know, we want to live faithfully to the Lord. How do we do that? Practice these things. In other words, walk in allegiance. This is the allegiance encounter. Dr. Kraft says this is by far the most important of the three encounters because this happens every single day. This is where Philippians 2:12 says we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This is where we're discipled and we grow. This is what it means to have a consistent quiet time with God. Like what you do with your time really matters as you're really going set about to really love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, coming out to morning prayer, and you know, now you have no excuse. It's crazy. I said, you know, the 2020-21 challenge just simply to say just come out to EMP once a week. Now we're on Zoom, and still we have like 20 people coming out to EMP. It's ridiculous, right? So everyone's operating on orphanage still, right? Where are the sons and daughters of this house? It's still happening this way. That's allegiance. It's so important that we walk in allegiance, having a consistent quiet time, coming out to EMP, praying, living a holy life, you know, keeping ourselves away from every appearance of evil, being careful what we lay our eyes on or lay our affections to in this way. This is all allegiance. You know, we don't practice these things to be saved, but we practice these things because we are saved. This is our response, the privilege of the redeemed to follow God in this way. Allegiance trains us and makes us to be more like Jesus. It's so important. It's what we do every single day. It's our truth encounter, our love encounter, and our allegiance encounter. Let me explain this in a different way, okay? I'll just close it and wrap it up in this way. Years ago, I share this story many times. Years ago, when I was in Israel, I went to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. This is the closest they got to where the glory of God, that they believe where the glory is, resides. And so they pray there. They go there every day. And there was this booth, and they were doing some really cool stuff. And they had this thing called a tefillin. And basically what it was, the tefillin meaning the phylactery. And remember in the scriptures where God calls out the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you should love the Lord God all. And then he says, and put this on the frontals of your head and down your arm and so on and so forth. So what they do is they have these phylacteries, these boxes, and they put scriptures in the Torah in that, and there's one that goes on your head and one that goes on your arm, and they take a leather band and it wraps around your head. There's two bands around your head, and then it goes around your arm, and you're meant to keep it close to your side in this way. And so I asked the guy that was doing this for all the young men. Is every man 13 years and above are meant to do this regularly? It's part of the mitzvah, or it's part of the command that they're meant to do this. And so and while they were there, he was explaining what this was, and it was so cool. He was explaining that there was this deep connection between the mind, the phylactery. Remember, the box goes on the mind. The phylactery goes on the arm, which is. It's meant to become really close because it's meant to touch the heart, and it goes down the arm. And it was this connection of spirituality that it wasn't just the mind, it wasn't just the heart, and it wasn't just the arm, but it was a connection of the mind, the heart, and the arm. In other words, what we talked about, the truth encounter, the love encounter, and the allegiance encounter. The truth, obviously, being our mind, the love being our heart and the allegiance being our body. In other words, what we do. See, it's in what this rabbi was telling me that day. It's ridiculous for a Jewish person to say I love God in their mind and but yet not with their heart. In other words, they just mouth the words. But there's no movement in their heart. There's no emotions that sets in. And on worse than that, there's no action that goes about doing that. It's this deep connection with what our mind thinks, what our heart feels, and what our body does. It's action. I mean, it's ridiculous for me to say I love my wife, you know, and then have girlfriends. Do you know what I mean? Like I tell her with my mind, my words, I love you. But then I got all these girlfriends. And, what the heck is that? I mean, that's ridiculous. And so in that same way, there's got to be a consistency and a connection between all of these things. It's our mind, it's our heart, and it's our body. All these things has an impact. So God, think about this, God wants to encounter you. He wants to encounter you in your mind, in your intellect. He wants to encounter you in your heart, and your emotions, and he wants to encounter you in your allegiance before him, in all these different aspects. And he wants us to encounter him in that same way, with loving God with all of our mind, with all of our heart, and all of our life, with all of our body in the same way. It's powerful. This is the order that God wants to bring back into our house. And I pray that this is the order that God is whispering and convicting your heart in even right now. And so as I invite the worship team to come, this is our vision, a place where people can encounter God. Brothers and sisters, when's the last time you encountered the Lord? When's the last time you had a truth encounter, a love encounter, and an allegiance encounter? Well, be quite honest, you're having an allegiance encounter right now in that you're listening to the sermon. You're doing something. You're drawing near in that way. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let him whisper into your heart of hearts. He wants to interact. He wants to impact us today. And then as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's sing to God. Let's not sing about God. Let's give God our hearts. Let's put away whatever's around us and distracting us right now at home. And let's worship him with all of our hearts. Let's encounter God. And let's build an atmosphere in your home, in your work, in your church, where God can be encountered.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul longs and even faints for you. For my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask, and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, one thing I ask, and I would see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your Spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. My heart and flesh cry out. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your Spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. In thousands elsewhere.
Well, let's pray today. Let's just pray a moment. Let's pray that our church will be a place where people can encounter God. Let's pray that we be part of the atmosphere changes, not just here in the sanctuary, but everywhere this body of Christ goes, that we will change the atmosphere around, that God would come, that he'd be worshipped, that the Son would be exalted and the Spirit would be welcome. Well, let's pray. Maybe some of us just need to change the atmosphere of our own heart, that there's no desire and longing for him like there should be. Well, we need to encounter him. We need to experience him. We need him to come and meet with us in such a powerful way. So if we can do that, can we just spend a moment, can we pray together before I close in the benediction? Can you pray for your own heart? Can you pray in your living rooms? Can you pray for your kids? Pray the atmosphere of God would come. Well, let's just lift our voices right now. Thank you, Jesus. Can I invite all of us to stand to our feet, even at the homes? Let's stand and let's receive the benediction. Father, we thank you, God, that you want to meet with us, God, that you want to encounter us, Lord. Lord, you want to come with us with truth and with love and allegiance, God. Lord, you've shown to us how faithful you are to us, God. Help us now, Lord, to be able to love you with all of our heart, God, our mind, all of our strength, Lord, every part of who we are, God. Let there be no inconsistency, Lord, about the things that we say and the things that we do, Lord. That we love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of our might. Thank you, Father. Lord, help us to encounter you. Help SP bring us back into the of your order, God. Help us to be a place where people can encounter you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day with your family. Enjoy your lunch. Say a beautiful prayer at the table. And let's really build the atmosphere of God in our church, in our families, in our workplaces. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you at EMP this week. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless. Bye.